also point out, members, that the Ag Marketing Service, I do have another handout in your paper, in your papers, that has a graph like this. It shows the total pounds of agriculture commodities exported needing a phytosanitary certificate. If you look at the bar graphs, two-page side here, it'll show you the tremendous increase in phytosanitary certificates as our agricultural exports continue to grow at a very rapid rate. And again, I would point out China as really the leading, has really jumped into the lead in the last couple years. So these phytosanitary certificates and many times need to be turned around in a 8-hour or less period of time. And so it puts a significant strain on our Department of Agriculture supporting our export programs. The ag value-added products, the ethanol payments members are paid out in the governor's proposal and our proposal that follows it, the ethanol producer payments. Those are all deficiency payments. I have another sheet in your packet that show you this. The dark lines here for 2008 show the regular payments. In 2009, you'll start to see deficiency payments making up about half of that total, $8 million versus $6.6 million. In 2010, they're nearly all deficiency payments. In 11, they're all. 12 and 13, they're all deficiency payments. But we've moved the payment scheduled for 2013. It was $296,000. We moved that ahead, an agreement with the governor's program or plan, and pay it all out in 2012. And that finishes the deficiency payments to the ethanol producer program. There was no other financial subsidies, state subsidies, for any renewable fuels now that I'm aware of. the rest of the page there shows the pass-through grants. I would point out the first grant is to ag societies at your county fairs. We're trying to use some of these things for educational systems and educational programs and support to our young folks that have some knowledge about agriculture, since many of them not growing up on the farm like we did in the past.
Senator Bonner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Magnus, with regard to the deficiency payments, are we paying those obligations 100% that we had committed to, and was there any thought about, given this situation, negotiating any kind of a reduction in those payments?
Senator Magnus?
Madam Chair, Senator Bonhoeff, yes, we are paying 100% of the deficiency payments that we've agreed to pay to them, and that's in the governor's proposal, too. We're following this along. I had talked to the Commissioner of Agriculture and his staff early on before the session, and we agreed these payments have been delayed several times. It's time to we agreed it's time to pay them out, and I know we're having significant troubles, but if you look at it over a two-year period, even though we're paying them out this 1 year, we are reducing that payment. We are reducing the hit to our base by $9 million.
Okay.
So, okay, and then I would point out one other pass-through grant, just to hit the big ones here, is the Second Harvest Milk Grant. That's a leveraged program. It provides milk to food shelves. It provides milk to low-income folks and to children. Turning the page, going to the Animal Health Board, and again, looking at the right hand of the right side of the page, you'll see that the we're following the governor's recommendation, with the exception that we are requesting that the that another $84,000 be taken from their administrative costs. That shows the Animal Health Board getting a reduction of 5.8% in total. If you go to the top line, you'll see the bovine TB program. Veteran members will recall that a couple years ago we had an outbreak of bovine TB in northwest Minnesota. The legislature stepped up with funding. the cattle producers, recognizing this would be a tremendous blow to the cattle industry in Minnesota if we could not maintain the shipment of cattle out of the state of Minnesota. They stepped up with the checkoff program to support the Board of Animal Health and the Minnesota Department of Agriculture's efforts to eradicate the bovine TB program. We've made a lot of headway. I'm going to praise both the Department of Ag and the Board of Animal Health and the work they've done. Other states are looking at this and trying to figure out how Minnesota did this so they can use that experience to become bovine TB free themselves. But there is enough money in there. We felt that we could take $510,000 out of that, and that's what the governor recommended, and that's what we're following. So again, even though it's a 5.8% cut, we believe that we can maintain the safety and security of our livestock industry. The next line in the middle is the Agriculture Utilization Research Institute, or ARI, as many of you know. The governor had proposed not to cut them at all. We have a target to meet of a $12,500,000 cut. So we needed to go to ARI and ask them to contribute to roughly at the same level others were. So we asked them for a 14% cut, $780,000. There are three fees in the bill. Again, following the governor's recommendation, the first fee is a food handler's fee, and members, you have some of that information in your packets, I believe. In fact, the change sheet from our budget books outlining that. I did get some more background information from the Department of Agriculture last night, early this morning. Outlining the fees. The fees total $490,000 over the two-year period. They are approximately 45. The Department of Agriculture is about 45% delinquent in the high-risk categories of the types of food licenses of food inspections they have. They're required to do this under Minnesota Statutes 157.2. I have that available to you. I gave a copy to the chair. The department is asking for a $490,000 increase over a two-year period to hire two to four more inspectors to catch up on this program and get them into compliance with the statute. So,
Madam Chair, questions. Senator Donoff. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Magnus, so this additional fee revenue is going to be used to hire these people to do these inspections. Is that correct,
Senator Magnus?
Madam Chair and Senator Bonhoff, that's correct.
And Madam Chair,
Senator
Magnus, I wish Senator Hahn and Senator Olson were here right now because we have attend these regular city meetings with the City of Minnetonka, and the City of Minnetonka has a joint powers agreement with the City of Wayzata to do some of their food inspections, and that has been a nice revenue enhancement for the City of Minnetonka and has worked well for the City of Wayzata. And they were told, it was about a year ago, by the state that they were no longer allowed to do that, that state workers had to do that. And so that didn't make much sense to any of us. And I know Senator Hahn is the one who actually did the research on that. And so we'll have to find out from him what. But I'm wondering, does it make sense that why does the state necessarily need to hire these three people? Is there nobody else who could do some of these inspections? I hear a lot of rhetoric about growing state government, hiring people. We're trying to reduce the burden in that regard. Could you address some of those thoughts?
Madam Chair, Davis. Senator Bonhoff, was this were these food handlers? I didn't quite catch who it was. Okay. I don't know excuse me. I didn't know what the situation was at Minnetonka. This fee, as I understand it, are for convenience stores that have food, for restaurant, or it does not include restaurants, for grocery stores that have delis in them, and that's the reason for raising these. Now, I know the Department of Health at one time was doing more than food inspection fees, and members, you may recall a few years ago when the Department of Health went into the state fair and caused a little dust up there when they decided you couldn't cook hot dogs outside of your camper at the state fair when you were parked in the campground there. So we don't want the Department of Health getting in here, and the folks we've talked to don't want them either. They want the Department of Agriculture to do this. But I can't answer your question, Madam Senator Bonhoeff, on what the exact situation was in Minnetonka.
Madam Chair,
I can have the department come up. Maybe they'll.
Madam Chair and Senator Magnus, perhaps the best thing would be for me to talk to Senator Hand, who's done that research, and understand if, because it could be perhaps that this is not the same situation. Although maybe there is somebody from the department who knows the background. Okay.
Senator Bonhoeff, do you think it might have been the restaurants that they were inspecting, or do you think it would have been the delis?
Madam Chair, I need to get back to you with it. You know, I didn't know this was coming up, and so I didn't do the research. I just heard about it before I got here, so I'll check into it.
Okay.
Madam Chair,
do you have an answer? Maybe she has.
I have Ms. Greta Goth here from the department to help out with our testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Greta Gothier, Department of Agriculture. Senator Bonhoeff, I know a little bit about this and certainly can find out more. What has happened is that some of our retail food inspections have been delegated to local units, most of the metro area. Those agreements did expire, and upon expiration, it was the determination. We looked at the new federal training requirements for retail food inspectors that we are obligated by statute to make sure everybody is in compliance with. Some of those inspectors that are working under some of those delegation agreements were also inspecting pools, restaurants, housing units, and that sort of thing. So they had a broad training, but not as in-depth as is required to be in compliance with these new federal requirements. So we determined at that point that if they did not have that level of training, that we felt it was better to have that responsibility come back to our department, because our employees do have that level of training. It takes about a year to 18 months to get somebody fully up to speed to be able to do retail inspections. That's part of the issue. And also, just point of information, I do know that our department can do those inspections for quite a bit cheaper than most of the entities to whom we've delegated in the past. So there was a cost saving as well.
Senator Bonner?
Madam Chair, but in this case, the Minnetonka is still doing their own, and so they obviously, and Minnetonka is run very professionally, and nobody said that their inspectors weren't adequate because they were still qualified to do their own, and Wayzata preferred the arrangement with Minnetonka, so obviously cost was not their issue.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
The point that Minnetonka is hiring their own inspectors? Senator Bonhoeff, is that right? Is that what you said? Maybe I'm not following that.
Senator Bonner?
Madam Chair, Minnetonka does have some of their own inspectors, yes. And they were...
For the city?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were outsourcing them as a cost sharing. They do a lot of shared, Madam Chair, they do a lot of shared services arrangements between the cities. That's how they keep their costs down. You know, they don't get LGA, they don't...
Madam Chair. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I do have with me Ben Miller from our Dairy and Food Inspection Division, and he has a little more direct experience with this situation.
Madam Chair, for the record, Ben Miller, Minnesota Department of Agriculture. Senator. With regards to the delegation agreements, I wasn't specifically involved in that particular discussion, but typically the delegated agents, the food inspection professionals that they employ, have a more broad area of inspection responsibility than the food inspectors, the Department of Ag. So they'll do everything from pools, as Greta mentioned, to hotel inspections, to maybe nuisance complaints, things like that. So when agencies have decided to end their inspection programs under the delegation agreement, we've been reviewing those and trying to determine if the department can better meet the needs of inspection and public health, given the specialization of the food inspection staff that we have.
Well,
Senator Bonner?
Madam Chair, and is it Miller?
Yes.
Thank you. It seems to me that for us to have them be increasing fees to pay for Senator Magnus, the increased employee base to cover this job, if there's already people locally that have been doing it and meeting those guidelines and doing it in a way that meets the needs of those communities, I don't understand why we would go this direction.
Mr. Miller, do you reimburse the cities then for the inspections that they do, since this fee is established for that purpose?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, actually, if inspections are done under delegation, those cities or counties directly license those facilities, so we don't have any involvement. We don't collect any fees from those facilities that are done under delegation. So they establish their own fee structure, or license structure, and collect those to fund the operations of their program.
Ms. Scotter?
Madam Chair, thank you. And Senator Ivanov, one thing to understand about these delegation agreements is when we sign them, they're signed in perpetuity? Okay. And the one in question, Mr. Miller believes we negotiated that in the year 2000. Well, even in the last 10 years, if you think about your grocery store, whether it's a Coborn's or Super Value or whatever, the diversity or variety of items in the store has exponentially grown. You know, the average supermarket has about 50,000 different items in it now. So the complexity, that plus the fact that our regulations are more, our inspection style is focused on looking at the whole system of the operation and making sure that they have a good system to keep food safe. And not, whereas years and years ago, we would mainly look at just hygiene. So, I mean, the fact of the matter is that with the complexity of what we have to regulate and the fact that we need to look at the system, those are some of the concerns we had about the level of expertise of some of those entities to whom we had delegated. And we felt that our staff have this in-depth training to deal with the changes in the industry, and felt that in some cases on the more I guess that suffices. That's just a background piece to know about how the industry has evolved over the last decade.
Senator Bonner?
Madam Chair and members, I'm raising this. You know, we're under the finance division, so it isn't up to this committee to decide whether that's a good policy or not. But we do look at whether or not we ought to raise fees. So given that I know just anecdotally in this situation, the Minnetonka inspectors are still being able to do Minnetonka, so they haven't been told that their quality is of question, that rather they're just not allowed to do Wayzata. So I'm going to not vote for this bill because I think that we ought to do everything we can to make sure we're leveraging shared resources whenever possible, rather than deciding that the state is the only answer.
And
Ms. Goddard?
Madam Chair, we did negotiate that agreement with the local entity, so I wasn't party to those negotiations.
Okay.
Senator Magnus.
Okay, the next, I wanted to tell Senator Perry, too, that this food inspector's fee does not cover restaurants. So I misspoke last night. So Anyway, the next fee we have in the
Senator
bill.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, Senator Magnus, you and I have gone round and round about any kind of fees, and I think, you know, I had a question from the lady that was up there when she made the comment on the grocery stores and that. I mean, just what I heard from you, Senator Magnus, was part of these fees were because of the growth of the delis and that. But then the lady that was up there before made reference that because of 50,000 products or the growth in these stores. I mean, are we out testing bread that's on the shelf, or are we doing other things than just the deli and the meat part of grocery stores? I just wonder, because everything is dated, everything is packaged, and maybe you could help me out with this.
Ms. Goddard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Perry, it's both. It is more complex because many stores do have delis. Some of them have sushi bars in the metro area. And also it is the complexity of the systems for handling the raw or the prepared foods that people buy for immediate consumption. And I think Mr. Miller can also speak to this.
Mr. Miller.
Madam Chair, Senator Perry. To answer that question, actually, we do sample in those retail environments because, as you know, from your own experience going into grocery stores, you know, there's a lot more on-site processing of food that goes on. So some of the risks that we would typically associate with food manufacturing have migrated to the retail setting. And so we actually do sample finished product for different bacterial pathogens, as well as do some environmental sampling, especially in delis where the concern of, you know, Salmonella and Listeria may exist.
So just real
quick. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I guess my question is, are we wasting our time on prepackaged food inspections? We're not, you know, I'm thinking because that's already done, so why would we duplicate that? So we're truly on what's being actually processed from raw product inside. That's what we're talking about.
Mr. Miller.
Madam Chair, Senator Perry, the fee increase would apply, you know, across the spectrum, and so that those would include low-risk facilities, but the way that we license facilities was based on gross annual sales. Now, the majority of where the additional resources would be focused would be on high-risk and, you know, inspection of high-risk facilities, so those that I just mentioned. There certainly is risk even in prepackaged food where you might have, you know, food stored in unsanitary conditions or you know, rodent infestations, which we do see fairly frequently. So that's not to say that the risk isn't there in prepackaged food, but the majority of the focus for the additional FTEs would be in those high-risk facilities to bring the delinquency rate down.
Senator Bonner.
Madam Chair, and just so that you both know, I know how important food safety is, and especially during these times, and as we see various outbreaks, not just, you know, here, but around the country and around the world. So I don't want you to think of my comments as in any way diminishing or not respecting and appreciating your role and the importance of your role, because I think regulation with regard to food safety is of paramount importance. I'm only looking at it from the perspective of my own city, who has brought this matter to our attention and has expressed concern.
Ms. Gondier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Bonoff, I'd be happy to talk with you more about that situation.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
It's hard to see you over there. oh, my gosh.
Senator Nino.
It's
okay, Madam
Sorry
Chair.
Sorry about that.
I'm still running on my first cup of coffee. Too.
A follow-up
on this question. Is that scenario that Senator Bonoff outlined here, her particular concern, is that unique, or are there other situations like that across the state where the department has been allowing or authorizing, whatever the right word is there, that inspection arrangement in the past, but no longer is allowing it today?
What's that? Mr. Miller.
Madam Chair, Senator Nino. The delegation, if memory serves me correctly, the delegation agreement was passed in 99 or 2000, and at that time it was opened up to, you know, local health entities that would like to do that sort of inspection work. And I believe most of them entered into that agreement at that time, the ones that we have in place now. Now, several have, City of Moorhead comes to mind, and several others have, you know, when they ended their local health inspection programs, you know, that they ceded that authority, inspection authority, back to the state at that point in time. But my understanding, and I haven't directly been involved in any sort of those negotiations, but when that agreement ends or an entity decides to stop doing inspections, that's negotiable under the delegation agreement.
Madam Chair.
Senator Nino.
More specifically, my question was, it sounds like that was an involuntary end. Is that unique, or were there others like that where it was an involuntary situation?
Mr. Miller.
Senator Nino, I don't know the specifics of that particular case. I wouldn't, you know, I think Greta can hopefully connect with Senator Bonoff and get the details there.
Senator Olson. Madam Chair, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like the connection, too. We've tried to work on this for several years, and I don't think we are satisfied with the logic. It seems much more turfdom than it is the reality of what can, in fact, be done. And if we do have capacity, I think we ought to be looking at how we can assure that it's getting done and not necessarily having to double spend for it.
Ms. Goddard.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, well, first, Senator Nino, I'd be happy to get that information for you. I don't have that with me. And then, Senator Olson, I'd be happy to work with you. I do not believe there is double spending, because once we sign a delegation agreement with a local entity, then it is under their purview to decide their own licensure fees and their fee scale and schedule and all that, and then to collect those to cover the cost of their own services. There isn't anything that comes back to the state at that point or that goes from the state forward, is my understanding.
Well,
Senator Olson.
Well, Madam Chair, I think I was using the wrong terminology, but if there is capacity and you have inadequate staff to cover it all in order to do a good job of it, then why can't we work toward using that capacity in a collaborative way between some of our cities? I live in a district that has 20 cities, and it's all in Hennepin County, 20 out of the 44. Now, they don't all have these kinds of entities, but when you have a capacity within one of them, it could be shared and do that for all. That also opens the door for your staff to be able to reach more and get more of the percentage of the inspections done than you're able to do even at the current level. I think that's what we're trying, the point that I think Senator Bonoff probably was trying to make as well, if that exists. And they're just a couple of years ago we were pursuing it, and we did meet with the Department of Ag, and there was no willingness or seeming ability to move on that. And so unless things have changed, I'd like to know what it is, and also whether it has an impact on and what we're doing and what's being recommended here. So that, you know, raising the fees is a major issue to add personnel, and if there's a way of doing it, reducing some of that need by other means, I think we're in the era that we need to be doing that.
Mr. Miller, Ms. Goddard, if they need to take lab samples, do the local units of government have access to laboratories, or how would they handle that?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, they have the option to take those samples, and they would submit them to our department's laboratory, you know, and that cost would be incurred by the department. And that's not typically done in terms of the local jurisdictions. They don't maintain their own laboratories, obviously, because of the complexity and cost associated there. So, again, you know, that would be a cost borne by the department and receipt of those samples taken by the local delegated agents.
How about the fees? What are the variations in fees if a local unit of government is doing it compared to what the state fee is?
Madam Chair, we do have that information.
We do, Madam Chair, and it ranges from anywhere that the per, if you look at kind of on a per license basis, and the comparison can be somewhat difficult because a lot of the delegated agents license based off risk category, whereas we license our retail facilities based off of gross annual sales. So it's to make the one-to-one comparison can be somewhat difficult, but we have attempted to do so, and in doing so, we've identified that depending on the jurisdiction per license, we may be anywhere between $350 to $400 less expensive to approximately $30 more expensive. So it's depends on the jurisdiction and their fee schedule, but we tend to be on the lower end of the scale when it comes to fees assessed to these retail food facilities.
Does anyone else have questions about this?
One clarification.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, sir, when you talk about gross sales, if you're talking about a deli within a grocery store, are you talking about the gross sales of the whole store or of the deli department that's being inspected?
Mr. Miller.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson, it would be gross sales for the entire store. We only license a store once based on their gross annual sales, whereas some of the delegated agents issue multiple licenses per store depending on the practices occurring in that store. So they'll license the most high-risk part of the store once, and then if there's prepackaged food, there's an additional license fee for that. If there's produce, there's an additional license fee for that.
And you're not talking about us. You're talking about
that. Correct. That's for the delegated agents.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Good questions, members. Madam Chair, the license fee schedule you'll see in the bill is included on pages 16 and in this special segment, just the top of line 17. You'll see the proposed fees. Just for an example, under the retail food handler and under D, if you have a gross sale of $250,000 up to $1 million, the fee would increase $41 to a year to $317. Mm-hmm. If you had, for example, gross sales up to $5 million, from $1 million to $5 million, your fee would be increased to $119, and so on. And the maximum fee increase here is $300, and the fee increase works out to be 15%. I'm sure. So, the next we're into fees here. The next fee we'll talk about is the anhydrous ammonia inspection program. I have a fact sheet in members' packet. It says anhydrous ammonia inspection program changes. In just going to the middle of the page there, Department of Agriculture regulates 295 storage facilities with more than nearly 500 storage tanks and about 10,000 nurse tanks. And they conduct these inspections every 3 to 5 years. And I would point out the next paragraph from 2001 to 2010, Minnesota had 493 incidents reported. This was estimated to be 35% of all incidents, 36% of all incidents resulting from the use of anhydrous ammonia accidents. Some of these are severe and could even include death. They've had 4 people die from anhydrous problems in those period of years. In the last paragraph of the page, it says that equipment failure was cited in 206 of the 493 cases, or 42% of those cases. If you turn it over, there's 2 fees that the department is recommending and we're agreeing with. The first is they authorize an annual anhydrous ammonia a charge of 75 cents per ton on the sales of anhydrous ammonia. That works out to be somewhere between 5 to 7 cents per acre of use on this. That would cover the inspections of the facilities every 3 to 5 years. Another fee in here that if the initial inspection comes up with some problems you have that need to be corrected. The department is asking for a $400 re-inspection fee to make certain that the entity that had had some safety issues found have resolved those, and so they're asking for a fee to do that. So, members and Madam Chair, that's the outline of the additional fees in the bill.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Magnus, this always perplexed me because it's like the longer you go, the better your numbers are. So on the line where it says from 2001 to 2010, Minnesota had 493 incidents, 36% of all incidents. What happened between 2009 and 2010 or 2008 and 2009? Because this, the way this I look at this, it makes it look like we need to do this fee. We need to do this reinspection because we've had so many incidences, and so I get concerned with the length of time. I mean, if in fact you could tell me that, hey, from 2008 and 2010, or we had 300 incidences, then I'd say now people aren't doing what they're supposed to be. Now we should be looking at how we're going to handle those units out there that are not being taken care of, or that there's a problem with the design or the storage, or and so I don't know if you can help me out with that one, Senator Magnus.
Well,
Senator Magnus,
Madam Chair, and Senator Perry, Greg Bozicki was here. He could give a lot better answer than I could, since it's his program and they're the ones that do it. Because I can't tell you, site specific years from you. The only information I have is for that 10-year period of this. But I do know last fall, just in Rosemont down here, we had a significant, members, you may recall this, in December, I believe it was, we had a significant anhydrous ammonia incident. This is dangerous stuff, folks. And some folks got injured, and they evacuated a large part of the town because of the problem. And I don't know what the specific problem was there, but I'm willing to err on the side of safety on some of these issues. So, but I can't answer you, Senator Perry, on specific dates, years. Okay, Madam Chair, I think
Senator Olson has a question.
No, just a comment and reinforcement of that. I had a cousin who died as a result of a release that right into his face. Within a year, he was gone. I understand.
Madam Chair,
Senator Magnus.
As the members know, I'm a farmer, and I've used anhydrous for a lot of years, but I don't use it anymore, and I don't criticize the product. It's a great product. Valuable to our lives, to our agricultural industry, but it's dangerous stuff. If a hose breaks because it's not been replaced as frequently as it should have been, or even worse, if a safety valve is not working, I don't want to have somebody die because of it. And believe me, if you get away with this stuff, you'll remember it. Remember it. So it's dangerous stuff. It's nothing to mess around with.
Senator Magnus, wasn't there restrictions put on it when we were having our crisis with meth production?
Yes.
And did that involve part of this program then, about where these units are stored and how they're maybe locked so there's not access to them?
Yes. Yes, unfortunately, Madam Chair, anhydrous ammonia is one of the ingredients people use to make methamphetamines. And so, yes, we have had to, during that time frame, we're citing here the 10-year time frame, 2000 and 2001, there were added restrictions to folks that are storing anhydrous ammonia out there, that people can't come up with a little tank and hook on and get some anhydrous and use it for methamphetamine production. I don't recall the exact year, but it was after I came here when we did the methamphetamine bill and took the precursors off, the Sudafeds and so on, off the shelves, and tightened up this as we tried to restrict folks that are crazy enough to make that stuff.
The good news is that it worked pretty well. We didn't stop it from getting shipped in yet, but there's
worked
not as
well.
Much manufactured here.
Worked pretty well, Madam Chair, but, you know, these folks find ways to do things. And so, unfortunately, we still have a significant problem with meth, but I think we made some great steps years ago. So, well, Madam Chair and members, I'll finish up the bill, and I want to thank Mr. Knopf, Greg Knopf, our analyst here, and I want to thank Dan Mueller, our fiscal analyst for the committees. They've done great work, especially with a new chairman here in the Senate Ag Committee. Been a great help to us and the committee. I want to thank the committee members also. And again, members, I realize we have significant budget problems. We've cut the Department of Agriculture 14.8%. The Board of Animal Health, 5.8%, mostly because we've been able to recover some of the bovine TB funds that we've been able to recapture back to the state. And we've cut the AURI, the Ag Utilization Research Institute, 14%. All difficult to do, but we recognize we need to step up. That meets our target that you gave me, Madam Chair, of roughly $12.5 million in reductions. Matches the governor's proposal except for a few isolated areas. So we appreciate the work with the Department of Agriculture in helping us put together the bill. Also, the Board of Animal Health and ARI, and we did not have any negative testimony in our committee. We appreciate the commodity groups, Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, and others that have supported our efforts also. So, Madam Chair, that would conclude my testimony this morning.
Okay. We would like to ask if there's anyone in the audience who would like to testify for or against the bill. If not, do members have any other comments? Yeah. Questions? Senator Cohen?
Madam Chair and Senator Magnus, now you're phasing out the ethanol payments? But for the deficiency, is that correct? Or
Senator Magnus?
Madam Chair and Senator Cohen, the only ethanol payments we're making now are deficiency payments from years past. That will stop at this year, the second year there would be no payments. So this is the final year of any payments. And those are all deficiency payments from years past.
Okay, thanks. I wasn't quite sure of
that. Thank you for the question. Yeah.
We do have members in the Health and Human Services Committee in particular that we'd like to, they went to bring in, and we would like to give them the courtesy of having a chance to vote on the ag bill today. And so in the meantime, I see some FFA students came in. We'd like to welcome them to this discussion on the Omnibus Agricultural Bill. Thanks for coming. And Senator Ingebertson, do you have a question?
I do, Senator. Just to be very clear, the governor's proposal was I'm looking at your spreadsheet, what was his reduction in this budget percentage?
Senator Magnus?
Mr. Mueller, maybe you want to jump in because we get the number geeks in here, Senator Ingebertson. I want those to.
Is that what they are? I'm pretty familiar with those two guys, actually.
I know you are, Senator.
We'll be seeing them tomorrow again.
So,
We're hoping they're telling you what to do, Senator Ingebertson.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I asked for your help, and you didn't want to give me any, so I had to go back to the staff again.
Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair and Senator Ingebertson, the Senate overall cut compared to the governor is an extra $1,072,000 above the governor. So the Senate reduction overall compared to the target is 14%. The governor's, I think, is around 11, I believe.
His was 11%?
I think so. I'll double check.
So it's relatively close then, yeah. 2 or 3%. Thank you. That's all I need.
Senator Cohen.
Madam Chair, I just want to make a comment to Madam Chair and Senator Magnus. To say that I'm not the ag expert in this place would be a vast understatement. but it strikes me as, obviously, as Madam Chair and Senator Magnus, you indicated, all these bills are difficult bills to put together. I think all of us in the minority who are certainly the previous chairman recognize that as much as all of you do, but it strikes me that the bill is a pretty decent bill. I do feel compelled to comment, however, and I'm not trying to say this just politically, but to offer some platitude. I mean, you have, I think, as you've mentioned, two fee increases in this bill, and I don't care if you're in the majority, the minority. You know, to do stuff like that is always difficult. You know, we would argue about fee increases both in the external committees as well as within our caucus, where we'd have either potential fee increases from Governor Plenty or fee increases that our members wanted to impose. And so I know that there's additional pressure. I've read the letter from Chairman Sutton. I'll just mention, Madam Chair, parenthetically, if a state party chairman had ever sent a letter like that to us, that person never would have continued as the state party chairman. I can promise you that would have been the case. So I recognize the pressures that you're placed under, and it's also difficult, Madam Chair. I think probably being the first chairman out of the chute this year, so I want to compliment Senator Magnus, because difficult circumstances to be the first chairman, you know, the first year of the majority, obviously takes some good work on your part.
Thank you, Senator Cohen.
See, now, do we leave Senator Bonoff's in the room? Senator Goodwin.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Just two questions, Senator Magnus. What is the total amount of fee increases in your bill? What's the total dollar amount?
Mr. Mueller, we have $490,000 in the food handler's fee. We'll calculate the anhydrous fees up a second.
And the second question is,
Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Have you done an estimate of what the job losses on your bill would be?
Senator Magnus.
We have those numbers from the department. I'd have to dig through the budget book from the governor's proposal to see, but the one area that we're looking at some changes in the Department of Ag is in their suggestion of the Ag Marketing Service. If you look at this sheet we were working on initially, you'll see a reduction in $954,000 there in that division. Some of that changes is from, I think, two staff people, and I believe that's the only full-time staff that the overall budget is affecting.
Madam Chair, Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, the fee increases were for additional inspectors. Did you
right.
count
and I'm
that?
Not, no,
in?
I didn't count those.
How many
Chair,
jobs does it create then?
Madam Chair and Senator Olson, they're anticipating to hire 2 to 4 additional food inspectors and 2 to 3. Excuse me. And I'm not sure on anhydrous if they're going to hire one. I think one is the discussion I'm having with Mr. Bezicki from there. So that would be 3 additional. So I don't believe the FTE reduction will be significant. It may be 1 or 2 people a change.
Ms. Gauthier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Greta Gauthier for the Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture. Overall, under the governor's recommendation, we had 24 people taking early retirement, and we were not intending to fill 6 of those positions. The retail food handler fee, well, and then there is an additional reduction of $208,000 to our central agency services that we would additionally have to make. So there would be those 6 that are not being filled, plus what we'd have to make with the $208,000 additional. And our agency services are our FIS financial analysis, our human resources, our IT, and our commissioner's office. So I don't exactly know how that would play out at this point. There isn't a specification in the bill beyond that area. So not knowing, there'd be at least the 6 plus. then the retail food handler's fee, we'd hire a maximum of three people, two to three, so that would take it from a negative six to a negative three. And then if the anhydrous, I know we would hire one more full-time inspector. We would need to hire a person to help us with our new rules to implement our new the shift that we have been working on with the industry in the way that we inspect, so that we pay more attention to people who are not in compliance with the anhydrous ammonia safety requirements and less time with people who are in compliance. We will be needing to write some rules to make sure that everybody involved can come to the table and talk about what's the best way to do that. So we would need a staff person to help with that rulemaking process. So, I mean, we're still at a net loss. I'm not exactly sure if it's going to be 1, 1.5, 1.3, 1.7, or 2, somewhere in there.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, we have a number for Senator Goodwin. Her question was the fee increase.
Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair, Senator Goodwin, the total fee increase is $827,000 for the biennium, the 12-13 biennium. And like I said, $490,000 of that is the food handler fee, $333,000 is the anhydrous ammonia inspection, and then there's a little $4,000 increase for just tweaking the another fee, ACRA surcharge. So,
okay, Senator Bonham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Han, I just wanted to fill you in on while you were out of the room, and Senator Olson hadn't been in the room then, too. I had an exhaustive discussion with regard to the fees and the relationship between Minnetonka and Wayzata, and so just wanted to make sure you knew that that did get a thorough discussion, and then Senator Olson finished that discussion.
Madam Chair, thank you, Senator Bonhoff and Senator Olson. I appreciate it. I know that's an issue that we've talked about with the city many times.
We all three represent the Minnetonka.
No other questions. We have everyone here at the moment. Senator Higgins will be joining us, but she has to wait until after session to become official. So that's why she's not in her seat. But otherwise, if there's no other questions, Senator Magnus, do you have a motion for us?
Madam Chair, I would move Senate file. What is our number here?
10-6.
Madam Chair and members, I would move Senate file 10-16 to be passed and sent to the floor.
Okay. Senator Magnus moves that Senate File 1016 as amended be recommended to pass and sent to the floor. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay.
Nay. No.
Okay. The motion does prevail. The bill is approved and will be sent to the floor. And that is our only business for now, but we will be reconvening right after